This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, if you were to spend a day with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, how do you think you would describe his personality, his demeanor, how he carried himself, his outlook on life? Perhaps the most obvious thing you will notice, front and center, was how concerned he was with people at every hour, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Think of the night before the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr was a battle before it began, despite the Muslims being caught off guard, unprepared, facing an army three times their size, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that context, is told, all of the leaders of Quraysh will die tomorrow. It's going to be an unbelievable, unexpected turn of events. Abu Jahl will fall here, and he pointed, and he walks over and says that Utba ibn Rabi'ah will fall there, Umayyah ibn Khalaf will fall here. Despite that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent the night begging Allah, pleading with Allah, crying and stretching his hand so high to Allah Azza wa Jal, saying, Allahumma innahum hufatun fahmilhum. Oh Allah, the men that are with me are barefoot, so carry them. Uratun faksuhum. They don't even have enough clothing for their bodies, so garb them. They are jia'un fa'ashbi'hum. They are hungry, and so give them their fill. Allahumma in tahlik hadhihi al-isaba la tu'bad fil ard. O Allah, if you allow this group of mine to be destroyed, you will not be worshipped on the earth any longer. Meaning these are the only believers left, O Allah, do not allow them to be destroyed. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continue like this, to the point that he feels like he has to intervene. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, Allah will give you what you promised. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doubt that Allah would give him? He didn't doubt. But Allah did not promise him that all of the companions would go home safely, right? And so he still had concern in light of all of this for the sahaba that he doesn't know their outcome. He's concerned for his companions. You know, he wasn't just fixated on the safety of the innocent or the safety of the believers. He was always protective of even those that were stubborn and were rejecting faith and were persecuting the Muslims. Allah says that in the Quran, subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. You're going to destroy yourself chasing after these people, O Muhammad, just because they're not believers. And he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ. We know how much it saddens you, these things the rejectors of faith are saying. We know it saddens you. And Abu Hala, radiallahu anhu, it's reported about him that he used to say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mutawasil al-ahzan. He was constantly grieving, is sort of the basic translation. But what does it mean, constantly grieving? Like, was he depressed and sort of, when you see him, was he negative? That is the idea, because he was not depressed. How could he be depressed? Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is a man who used to speak to Jibreel alayhi salam day in and day out. They'd have conversations, right? Allah would send him the archangel himself to walk his path with him, to be his friend and advisor. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam was honored by Allah to be carried through the heavens and past the threshold of the created universe in a sense, or the universe as we know it, and past Sidratul Muntaha, which even angel Jibreel alayhi salam was not able to, permitted to pass. So it wasn't grief like depression. It was concern for everyone. That was very obvious in his personality. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you couldn't miss it. So he was constantly concerned, constantly anxious, constantly protective of people. And Allah says that about him in the Quran, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ. A prophet that it's very difficult on him to see you go through difficulty. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Keen on your well-being, protective of you. However, that's one side of his personality, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is another side of the personality that may even be more obvious. And you got to think of how it all came together in him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That second element is the fact that Jarir, for instance, radiallahu anhu, says, since I became Muslim, 10 years straight, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never saw me except that he smiled to me. And Abdullah ibn al-Harith radiallahu anhu said, nobody used to smile more than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had this radiant, lovely, unforgettable smile. When someone saw it, they remembered it for as long as they lived. That he would comfort people with, he would reassure people with. And now the personality, if you will, I hope is becoming a little bit clearer. That of his greatness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that no matter how he was feeling inside, which would show, it had to show how protective he was, that did not stop him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from being the type of person that was kind, that was reassuring, that was constantly instilling trust in people, instilling hope in people, instilling confidence in people. He would cheer people up. You know, that's not easy to bring those two things together. When people are feeling low, it is very hard for them to be lifting other people up, right? But he had this amazing ability, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to reconcile those two great personality traits. That he was able to reach into his reserves, reach into the bottom of the bucket to bring people up, to uplift people, to empower them, to make them cheerful. He was exhausted in chasing after people's well-being, yet he still had it in him to try to exhilarate others, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, this is called like emotional generosity. Yes, it doesn't cost a penny to be emotionally generous, but it can be very, very, very challenging. Very few people can pull this off. You know, some people, they're depressed. They're depressed, one of the reasons is because they're just consumed with their problems. Like, I'm consumed about my finances or sort of my emotions as an individual, my security, like my whatever it may be. And so they're not able to even think about the feelings of others, let alone how to make them better. Other people, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his grief was out of concern for others to begin with. But that concern for others never broke him, never paralyzed him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way it does for so many of us. You know, you can have the most loving family member in the world, there's such a worry warrior, as they call them nowadays, that they fill the air with sort of tension, like paranoia, anxiety, because they worried so much about you that they actually imprint on you this sort of ill atmosphere, this negative energy, as we call it nowadays. You see even relief workers, this is actually very common. People sort of go out of their way to take care of the underprivileged, the underserved, the broken, the downtrodden, and they have crises. They have these psychological meltdowns, and they're not able to continue. You know, the imams of communities, not for anyone to think ill of the imams, but we also have to differentiate between the imams and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know imams who tried so hard to be accommodating to their communities, and they had to seek clinical help for their mental health. And so he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, had both and brought both in with such beauty. Like, his emotions manifested, as we said, at Badr, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But it never overloaded him. And that brings us to the third dimension of his personality, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is that he, at the core of it all, he enjoyed such an inner peace, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had like endless serenity, tranquility, peace. And that is what only faith can give you, right? He had this certainty inside him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was an infinite resource. That no matter what happened, he could still move forward. You know, these people say, like, move past your problems. You can't always move past your problems. Some things you just can't move past them. They latch on, right? They're long-term challenges, trials. He was able to move with the problems, along with them. He didn't even put them down. He didn't sort of lock them out of his purview. He saw them and was still able to operate within them. And that's what gave him this legendary optimism. You know, what is the difference, they say, between like an optimist, someone who thinks positively, and someone who thinks negatively, a pessimist? They say the optimist sees every obstacle as an opportunity. Everything that you think is a dead end, they see it as an opportunity. And the pessimist sees every opportunity as an obstacle, it's a dead end. The Prophet ﷺ was the most optimistic human being on the face of the earth, despite the fact that he was the most concerned about humanity than any human being ever. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Like, you read about, you know, when the Muslims were being taunted in Mecca, I'll just give you a few examples. Abu Lahab's wife, Jamil, she used to walk the streets. She was a well-known poet, and she used to sing, or like chant, مُذَمَّمٌ أَبَيْنَا وَدِينَهُ قَلَيْنَا وَأَمْرَهُ عَصَيْنَا مُذَمَّم, she's referring to the Prophet, we have rejected. And his religion we have hated. And his command we have defied. She's taunting him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But she was using the term مُذَمَّم. مُذَمَّم means the dispraised one, the condemnable one. And so people are hearing this. And she's making a public display of it. And the Prophet ﷺ immediately, for the Sahaba, he reframes. He says to them, "Unzur, look at how Allah diverts the insults of Quraysh from me. She is insulting Muthammam, the dispraised one, and I am Muhammad. I'm the praised one." Muhammad means the praised one. She's trying to flip it on its head. And he's saying, see, Allah misguided her into using a name that's not mine. That's not me. I don't know who she's talking about, right? That reframe was what he was so good at, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this would energize the Sahaba around him. He used to say to the Sahaba, la adwa. Stop panicking. There's no such thing as like a contagious disease that just, without Allah's qadar, no matter what, it's just going to infect you. He said, وَلَا طَيْرَ. There's no superstitions. There's no such thing as a curse or a bad omen or otherwise. He said, وَأُحِبُّ الْفَأْلَ الْحَسَنَ. I love good omens. Wherever I see a sign, an event, a reason to think positively of Allah, I'm going to think positively of Allah. When it was deadlocked during Al-Hudaybiyah negotiations, and it was such a difficult moment, they saw a man come forward to negotiate after several others before him. His name was Suhail ibn Amr. Instead of everyone saying, here goes another hard-headed person who's going to strong-arm us, his name was Suhail ibn Amr. The Prophet ﷺ took a good omen out of the name of the man. He said, his name is Suhail. He said, قَدْ سَهُلَ أَمْرُكُمْ. Your affair, your mission has just become sahl, easy. Why? Because the guy happens to be named Suhail. See the reframe? You see the beauty in the personality? Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. You know, late into his life, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, this didn't weaken. This wasn't sort of the energy and the optimism of a young, youthful person. Adi ibn Hatim, radiallahu anhu, when he became Muslim, Adi ibn Hatim was a big personality in Arabia. Adi ibn Hatim came, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is trying to convince him to become Muslim. Every time he speaks to him, someone interrupts and says, Ya Rasulullah, we heard about like some people, road bandits, intercepting a caravan, robbing everybody. Ya Rasulullah, things are really tough. We're running out of like resources, poverty. And so he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, starts feeling that Adi ibn Hatim is starting to develop a negative perception of the Muslim community. These guys are pretty weak, and like things aren't going their way. And he thought it maybe would detract from his willingness to become Muslim. And so he reframed it immediately. He said, O Adi, in talat bika hayah, if you live long enough, you're going to see a woman all by herself travel from Al-Hira, hundreds of miles away, all the way to Al-Kaaba without an entourage, without security, without fearing anyone but Allah and the wolf attacking her sheep. And O Adi, if you live long enough, you will see the Muslims inherit the treasures of Kisra ibn Hormuz. Kisra ibn Hormuz is the grand emperor of the superpower of the world, Sassanid Persia right now. In that time, so Adi actually has to stop him. Like, do you hear yourself? Are you sure you mean Kisra ibn Hormuz? He said, Kisra ibn Hormuz. And I'll tell you one more. If you live long enough, you will see a man walk out of his home with abundant wealth and not know who to give it to. Everyone will be satisfied. Adi radiallahu anh decided to become Muslim. How confident the Prophet ﷺ was in things changing for the better, as Allah promised him. How tranquil, serene, at peace he was with his certainty in Allah. He decided to become Muslim, and then he said, at the end of his life now, and I have lived long enough to see two of those come to pass, and if I live long enough, I'm awaiting the third. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. So in that way, brothers and sisters, regardless of how dark things got, he صلى الله عليه وسلم was not able to just stay anchored because of his faith, but was able to uplift those around him because of it. And so I ask Allah to allow us to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But for now, I hope you've met through this khutbah a little bit of a clearer image of his personality. He had this incredible strength at the core of things. And that is why, despite deep in his heart having so much mercy, compassion, concern for people, he was also able to be cheerful and uplifting with everybody. You know, I've been hearing people say, with everything going on in the world and we just can't disconnect, or if we do disconnect, we're going to feel guilty. And there are many problems in the world. He wasn't detached from them, right? He wasn't just like in ecstatic to a fault, right? In a way that is not recognizing of reality. He wasn't detached. He recognized it all. You know, people are saying, how are we going to even like enjoy Ramadan, celebrate Ramadan in this? Ramadan is exactly for this. I don't mean overeating and sort. No, of course we're going to do Ramadan a little different because of these events. Because Allah has blessed us with a wake-up call. Because Allah has granted us this very big obstacle to be a humongous opportunity for us. Ramadan is just for that. Refill your reservoir so that you will have the capacity to remain concerned for the well-being of everyone and to even exude that in a way that uplifts others to take part in it with you. May Allah Azza wa Jal teach us that which will benefit us and benefit us with that which He has taught us. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive our sins and cure our sick and have mercy on our deceased. And in particular, our brother, the founding member, our brother Ibrahim, the founding member of Malv, who they're praying janazah on now. Allahumma ameen. If we cannot be with him today, then at least our dua will reach him certainly. May Allah have mercy on him and accept all that he has done and grant his family patience. And allow us all a positive stamp on this world before we leave it. Allahumma ameen.